Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. Listen for the word of God. Then God spoke all these words. I am the strong deliverer, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Holy One, your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, bestowing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Holy One, your God, for the Holy One will not acquit anyone who misuses God's name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Creator your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns, for in 6 days the Creator made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Creator blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Holy One your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to hear your word to us this morning and to find life in your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are doing a series on a lighter Lent, the idea being to let go of some things that might be pulling us down. We started with running errands, repent of running errands for the devil, of doing things that that seem right but aren't actually in service to loving God and our neighbors. Last week we talked about selling out your soul, repent of selling your soul, of doing things. Was that one? Trying to avoid getting into trouble by pretending to be something you're not or someone you're not. This week it is Sabbath. This week we're doing Sabbath. I saw that in the Ten Commandments. This is repent of running yourself ragged. Some might put the beginning of the practice of Sabbath at the liberation from slavery when Israel was enslaved to Egypt and forced to work all day, every day. And they're freed, and God tells them, you will not be working one day, and anyone who works for you will not be working one day out of every seven, the seventh day. But I didn't have it. There's a book by Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel called The Sabbath. And he argues that the beginning of the Sabbath is in Genesis, actually. And I think that's true. In the prologue to the book, he writes that kadosh, holy, that word is first applied in the Bible not to an object, but to time, to the Sabbath. The first holy thing in Scripture is the Sabbath. Things in the Genesis creation narrative are said to be good. God separated the light from the darkness and saw that it was good. God created all of these things and said that they were good. But on the seventh day, God rested and said that it was not good, but holy. Not to say that holy isn't good. I've told this story probably way too many times at this point, but it bears repeating. When I started college, I read an interview with Eugene Peterson, who was a former Presbyterian minister, and if you've ever loved or hated The Message, he wrote that paraphrase. And I read this interview, and it really it grabbed me. And I'm going to read the section that stood out to me to you, so hopefully it'll catch your imagination too. He says, "When I was a pastor, on Monday morning, we would hike in the woods. We defined our Sabbath this way. We could do anything, but nothing that was necessary. We could do anything, but nothing that was necessary. We would play and we would pray. Anything under the category of play was legitimate. Anything in the category of pray was legitimate. When we lived in Maryland, we'd pack a lunch, go to a trailhead, and spend the morning in silence. We took binoculars. At lunchtime, we would find a place to eat, and Jan would pray. At the trailhead, Jan would lead a psalm. We'd start with a psalm, and then we'd remain silent until lunch. Then we'd talk about the birds we'd seen. We didn't have structure. In the late afternoon, we'd get home, and our kids would arrive. We'd putter. Jan would fix supper, or I'd fix supper. I'd fix doorknobs. I like to putter. That's the way it looked for us. Now it's different. Now we worship with a congregation on Sunday and we pack a lunch. We're only 20 minutes from the beach, so we walk to the beach and have lunch there. Sometimes we'll be a little more aggressive and go to the mountains. They're only a half day away. It's essentially a day where you don't do anything." And I'd read somewhere else the line about, "We're a human being, not a human doing. A human being, not a human doing." And I think it was when I read that that I started to take the practice of, in undergrad, I took Saturdays off. Just didn't do homework. Well, that was pretty much the only thing I was doing in college was homework. I didn't do homework on Saturdays. And my friends were like, how do you do that? I could never. I said, I don't know. I just don't. We became aware that I don't get to count Saturday as a day that I'm doing homework, so it just sort of skips. At some point, now that I'm a pastor, and when I was taking Fridays off, it would be Thursday, and I would say, "Oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this thing," and Kristen would go, "Tomorrow? What do you mean tomorrow? Tomorrow's not Saturday." I was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot. Friday doesn't count for me. It's not there. Literally, just isn't there." How's it work? I just decided that if it needed done Friday, it didn't get done, so it didn't get factored into my homework time. However much time I had for homework, that was not part of it. I think maybe my goal was to be holy or something, but. Mostly I was just really impressed with what Eugene Peterson wrote, and I thought, that sounds real good. I'll do that. But there have been times that I felt less holy about it and more like it was just a thing that I needed to do for my own survival. It just felt like something that I needed to do. And I told this one too, that when I was interviewing with the Committee on Preparation for Ministry, they asked about my spiritual practices, and I had to think about it, and I was like, it's not really a whole lot that I'm doing right now. I go to church, I think, and I keep Sabbath. And they all looked at me like, "Oh, that's really good." Because like half of those people or more were already pastors, and they knew how hard that it is and how important it is to take a rest. And they were just really pleased. And I didn't understand until I was a pastor why they thought it was so important. Sometime after I read the interview with Peterson, I think he referenced Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. And I read about half that book this past week, just reread it, and it was better than I remembered. Part of the quote, he said, even thinking of labor or business should be avoided. So if it's a Friday, I will do my best to not think about my sermon, and if I have a really good idea, I won't write it down. And go, well, if that's something that I need to hang on to, I'll think of it again tomorrow. Heschel tells the story from the Talmud, and this story was one that I still remembered years after reading it. He tells the story of a righteous man who is out walking on the Sabbath, and he comes upon a part of his wall around his fields that has fallen, that has broken down, and he says, I need to fix that tomorrow. Only I'll fix that later when the Sabbath is over. And as the Sabbath came to an end, he realized that he had thought to fix it on the Sabbath, and he committed to never fixing that piece of fence because he thought of it on the Sabbath. I'm not sure that that part is a great idea, but it kind of brings out the idea that that even thinking or planning to do the work can be work. What I would say is, well, if I pass it again and I see it, I'll remember to fix it. Heschel says that the pagans around the Jews did not think that, they thought that, not in so many words, but he said that the pagans thought that the Jews were lazy because they didn't work on Saturday. They didn't work on the Sabbath. The other line that I highlighted a bunch when I was reading it, but the other one that I highlighted, he wrote that on the Sabbath, even the wicked in hell find peace. According to Heschel, I think there was another story where he said that even the wicked only suffer in hell for 12 months, so I don't know quite how. I think there's kind of a different sense there, but... And then there was that quote that I mentioned, that I put up there, that it must remember that the Sabbath is not an occasion for diversion or frivolity. And this is the part I left out. It's not a day to shoot off fireworks or turn somersaults, but an opportunity to mend our tattered lives, to collect rather than dissipate time. And I remember, maybe this is not something that anybody else experienced. I'm not sure if it's something I experienced or something I read about because it was so long ago. But in the olden days, they used to say that the kids couldn't do anything fun on the Sabbath. This is the Sabbath. You can't go outside and play. We have to sit inside the house and be restful and reading. And it drove the kids crazy. So I think I like Peterson's idea that it's okay to play and it's okay to pray. But at the same time, I read that, and a lot of Fridays I'll play video games, and I remembered that on Friday, and I thought that the part about mending our tattered lives to collect rather than dissipate time, I thought maybe I won't this week. I'll just pray, meditate, whatever. I make it sound like I was doing something more than I was. I took a mini half-day credo retreat, that's all, which mostly just involved staying at my house and sitting on the couch and listening to some music. And yeah, it wasn't anything fancy. It was more for feeding my soul than for passing time playing video games. I miss playing video games because my kids are always wanting stuff, but I'm getting Ryan into it. It's okay. Anyhow. But this is a story that happened about a year ago. I don't think I've gotten a chance to tell it. Jack will recognize it from Tuesday Bible study, and a few of you else who've heard it probably will. But I was at the Credo Conference almost a year ago, and we were sitting on the porch of the dining hall and talking about taking a day off. And some of my colleagues, really wonderful people who I love and respect, they said, I really, really try to take a day off on Fridays, but when I get to it, it's just the stuff isn't done, and I have to, I try to make sure that I get everything done, but I just can't, and sometimes I end up having to work on Friday. And I was like, okay, I see where the problem is here. You're treating this as a reward for finishing your work, but it's not. Okay, I have that up there. Please tell me. Oh, come on. There it is. Yes! I had it. And I said, the Sabbath is a rock in the river. You don't earn it. You don't finish stuff up to be ready. It's there, and everything else has to go around. If you're not done, everything else goes around. The sermon isn't perfect. Too bad. It's not getting done on Friday. That day doesn't count. That day does not exist for the purposes of work. Heschel, on the cover, there's a picture of a temple, and Heschel calls the Sabbath a temple in time. Jesus, of course, says the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath, and of course we do need it. And it makes sense, and it also fits with common ideas about the Sabbath. Heschel quoted a saying from the Talmud that says that the whole of the Torah may be set aside for the sake of saving a life. The whole of the Torah can be set aside to save a life. So when we see Jesus healing on the Sabbath and his disciples plucking grain, and we see Jesus also resting in other places and in other ways. He rests on the bottom of the boat in a storm. He prays at night. He leaves the crowds. Jesus finds space for rest. And the fascinating bit about all of this that I realized last night, while I was rather ironically, frantically writing a sermon on repent of running yourself ragged, I was running myself a little ragged trying to finish up on Saturday. But I decided not to do the dishes after all because I was just tired. But when Jesus dies, he dies on a Friday. He rests on the Sabbath day in the grave and is raised again on the first day of the week. So in a way, it's kind of a keeping of the Sabbath. But a few days prior, on the night that he was betrayed, he sat down to share a meal with his disciples and his friends, and we too are invited to that table. This is the table not of the church, but of God. It's made ready for those who love God and for those who want to love God more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been here long, you who've tried to follow and you who have failed. Come, not because I invite you, it is our Savior. Jesus wills that those who want him should meet him here. The Lord be with you.